The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Morning Drive. My goodness, that was a long intro theme song. Where I will explain a little something here. It's Thursday. What day is it? April 16th, right? Oh, my goodness. We have a couple of Eversource trucks outside of our studio today, and apparently the studio lost some power over the course of the previous evening, and I'm hoping that we make it through the entire show this morning, but so far, almost nothing has gone right. But we are on the air here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. And Mayor Peter Marchetti is my guest this morning on the show. Glad to have him here for his monthly visit. And it is kind of a fortuitous time to have him on because we did have some big news last night regarding Morningside School. So we'll talk about that certainly in the beginning of the show. But lots of things going on here in the city, and we will talk all about that in just a moment. So stay tuned for that. Let's get to our weather forecast from the National Weather Service and see what we have in store for us today. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind this afternoon. Highs around 80. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms in the evening. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind in the evening. Lows in the upper 50s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. A 50% chance of showers. Night is warm with highs around 70. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, so a little bit of a muggy morning you're waking up to there in April, middle of April, and it feels like middle of summer already. A lot of fog as I was coming in. Still a little bit of fog out there burning off. If you're coming up over the top of Crane Ave and Benedict Road, it's like being in the clouds. Definitely kind of a summer morning. That's what it feels like this morning. All right, welcome to the program Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. FM. Joining me now, Mayor Peter Marchetti. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good. No worse for the wear here this morning. Somehow we got the radio show on.
I wish you had the cameras on so they could have watched you running around to make sure that we could get on the air.
Yeah, somehow it works. I thought I had tested everything, and, you know, I start everything. I hit my microphone. I'm like, oh, nothing. Okay. We'll deal with that.
I was going to say, like, turn the mic. I can run the show from over
right
here.
There you go. We could reverse it. I'll just come over there, and we'll do the show from the guest side. Well, so that getting out of the way, and hopefully, like I said, we've got two Eversource trucks out there right now.
Three
now. So hopefully they don't cut our power completely while we're doing the show, but so far we're limping along here on what we have. Busy night last night at the Pittsfield School Committee. It was a string of three meetings in a row, all dealing with the schools. The School Building Needs Committee met on Monday night, mainly to talk about the statement of interest for construction at Pittsfield High School, off in the distance, but still something. We'll talk about that later in the show. City Council last night took up that same issue. And then, of course, last night with the school committee, they had a lot on their plate last night. You, as the chairman of the school committee this year, are deeply involved with a lot of that. The one issue that seems to be certainly bubbling to the top of everybody's radar is Morningside School, the fate of Morningside School. So the school committee last night voting 6-0 with one person not at the dais to close the school. So let's talk about the facts that led up to that decision, because it's obviously not something that happens overnight or in the course of one meeting. What are the factors, if people haven't been paying attention, to make something like a closure of Morningside School necessary?
Well, I think if we back up for the last decade, I think we've been talking about the fact that our enrollment numbers are declining, mm-hmm. And that we don't necessarily need 8 elementary schools any longer. I think as we have gone through the process, we have successfully put into the queue a Conte Crosby concept for a reconstruction, mm-hmm. and a new school.
And that's been ongoing for a while right?
Well, I mean, I think as I was talking last night about the statement of interest, 2007 mm-hmm. was the first time that we put in a statement of interest for Crosby, Morningside, or Conte.
Right.
So back in 2007, we were having conversations about those schools needed work or weren't fit. You know, I think if we look at the bigger picture, and I think there's two sides to really kind of focus on. And I don't mean sides in terms of facts. I mean sides in terms of the emotion, right? Mm-hmm. The sentimental value, the I belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And
a sense of community with a school, right? And, it's a belonging.
And I believe that, mm-hmm. right? I was a Morningside alum. I grew up every day when I walked out to my car, or if I walked out to the sidewalk as a kid, if I turned right, I saw the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see the school every day from home. As I said last night, even in the summertime, I could hear the recess bells mm-hmm. ringing.
And that was a brand new school at the time, right?
So. Yeah. I mean, I was a Mercer Elementary School student for my first kindergarten, first, second grade, and then ended up going to Morningside when it opened. And I think if you look across the country, back in the 70s, open classroom format was the newfangled thing.
Yes, it was.
It was going to save the day. It was going to... There's very few schools with open classrooms across the nation left open, because mm-hmm. most have realized they're not conducive to a great learning environment.
Right, and Pittsfield kind of doubled down on that concept and built two of them at that time in the mid-70s.
Right. And so, you know, the conversations have been happening for a long time. In recent time, we have 7 schools that have been put into the Accelerator Achievement Program. We have 7 schools.
And what is that, the Accelerator Achievement Program?
So it's basically labeled an underperforming school.
Okay.
And there is accountability scale, 0 to 100, 100 being the best. If my memory serves me correctly, Morningside's at a 7.
Yeah.
And we have maybe 6 of the 7 schools that are in the accelerator mm-hmm. that have been put into the Accelerator Achievement Program are under 10.
Mm.
And so there are some real issues that we need to focus. I think the superintendent took a different approach this year with a budget. and really said the budget should be based on the student, mm-hmm. and students should be getting the funding for their needs. And then,
and of course, you have a new interim superintendent this year coming in and looking at the entirety of the school system with a fresh set of eyes, if you will. She isn't connected to the past, even though I'm sure a lot of people will tell her all the history of what has happened with all the different schools and things. She's probably coming in and saying, okay, but I see an underperforming school and chronically underperforming in a lot of ways. So what is it? How is it we're going to address that situation for the benefit of the education of children, right? That's her ultimate bottom line.
Right. And I think that... the closure is coming at a time where we're talking about budget cuts. But last year wasn't so bad. But the year before, we were talking, was it $1.6 million or $3.6 million? Mm-hmm. If we go back in history, around February, you can probably go get some Eagle articles that talk about school budgets in, schools in crisis. Mm-hmm. We're going to have so many layoffs. Like that was a narrative for a really long time. I think we got out of that narrative, and then we got back in the narrative. We got out of the narrative. So, I mean, I think she took a comprehensive look at the school. She was really looking at putting money for the needs that we need. And then I think that the question conversation comes down to, are the students better off if they're in a different environment? You know, I know that some folks had said to me, can you put up walls? It's more than just putting up walls,
right?
Because if you put up the walls, how's the heating system?
Yeah.
So is that classroom going to get heat?
Or as we found in other buildings, it becomes sick building syndrome, you know, because there's not enough circulation. It was meant for an open plan. And right. When you start putting up the walls, it's not designed correctly.
What's the sprinkler system look like?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, homeless of pieces. And that's not to say that the building can't be redesigned.
Right. But where's the money coming from for that?
Well,
right? I mean, that's basically the question. You've already got a school building project going on with Conti and Crosby, potentially Stearns connected in there somewhere that hasn't been decided. But certainly those first two schools, to the point where both of those schools will no longer be schools after the end of that construction project. But that would leave Morningside School, which is one of those schools that was, I guess, left behind in the late 90s when really an extraordinary building reconstruction project happened, where you got seven schools, and most of those, I think, were built in the 50s. So at that time, they were already 50 years old, those schools. And those are the ones that are right now still, you know, doing pretty well because they got that facelift in the late 90s. And even that's 26 years ago.
Right.
But at that time, the three schools that were left behind, the Morningside, Conti, and Crosby, at least Morningside and Conti, at that time, those schools were only about 20 years old. So you wouldn't have put money into reconstructing those because they were still, you know, fairly new. But now they're at 50 plus years old and obviously not living up to their promise of being able to properly educate students.
And 20 years ago, we probably should have been investing the money because 20, mm-hmm. well, 20 something years ago, yeah. almost 30 years ago now, right? We knew the schools, we knew the model wasn't going to work. It wasn't working across the country. So we probably should have done something. You know, it's great. Like woulda, coulda, shoulda game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure today. I mean, what I heard, I heard the sense of community, making the commitment that school won't be lost.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some community aspect for it. You know, I go back to the number of years that I was chairperson of the Morningside Initiative and was part of the Morningside Initiative. There's how you build sense of community, right? Get the folks in, let them kind of talk about what the neighborhood needs differently. You know, we talked last night about the pavilion that was put up at Springside Park. That was something that the neighborhood asked for. Mm-hmm. We did some crime watch stuff. We did some increased lighting stuff. There was a lot of stuff that came through the neighborhood cleanup that was always in May. It still happens. And so how do you take this situation and, you know, folks are going to label it as a good change or a bad change. How about we label it as change And how about we double down as a community to ensure that it's a good change mm-hmm. and that we don't leave anyone behind, that the sense of community is still there. What do we need to put there to continue that sense of community?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that in a case like this or many other votes that you take, 5 minutes after the vote, you're either a really good person because you voted the way people wanted, or you're a really bad person because you voted not the way they wanted. Mm-hmm. And there's a mixed opinion or, mm-hmm. or a mixed representation of whether you did the right thing or mm-hmm. the wrong thing. You know, I think that the downside to where we are is that it's happening in a fiscal crisis. So we're pointing to the fiscal crisis rather than to years of data that shows that the school hasn't been performing. And I think it goes back to the open classroom. And, you know, tomorrow's a new day. We need to commit that these students are felt welcome in the schools that they're going to. You know, I heard from some of the teachers during our 5 minute recess that they're ready to do so. So let's give them a fighting chance. Mm. Let's not kill them before they even get the opportunity to move and advance and experience something totally different than what they've had.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mayor Peter Marchetti here on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. We're talking about the vote last night of the school committee to close, to retire, if you will, Morningside School from as one of the eight elementary schools currently in the city of Pittsfield. There certainly was some chatter on social media before and after the vote. It certainly seems to have taken off after the vote. And there was a lot of chatter about whether this decision had been made well before that meeting. Do you want to just address that? Was this always set in stone? This was always the plan all along?
Well, I think several years ago, when we began the Conte Crosby campus consolidation and plan, there was a plan
mm-hmm.
To close Morningside in some way, shape, or form. When, where, how, and maybe it wouldn't have been Morningside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The fact of a school needing to close, you know, we have 5,000 students in the district,
mm-hmm.
roughly,
mm-hmm.
2,700 elementary school students spread across eight elementary schools. You know, I think the fascinating piece is, in government, you hear two things. I need, I want, please do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear, please don't raise my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Services cost money. And, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think I've been looking at ways to streamline and make services more efficient. We did that with trash collection. And in year one, saved almost $750,000 that we could invest in other things. I think there's more work to be done there. We did the Collins Center report to help us streamline public works. We also know as a community that we have a salary lag for a lot mm-hmm. of our employees that we need to address. So, you know, was there a concept? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a secret vote 10 years ago to close Morningside? No.
Or a secret vote last week, for
right.
example.
Like,
basically, you had a 6-0 with one absent last night. So there was healthy debate about it, obviously. But at the end of the day, every school committee member that was present did vote to close the school. So,
well, and I think we all did for different reasons,
mm-hmm.
right? I think, without naming them, I think one did it because there's a potential for savings. I think,
and of course, that savings also impacts other schools in the district in a year where you have a $4 million deficit, and you've already announced basically, look, we're going to be laying off so many teachers and so many programs in different schools are going to go away. So this, in a way, could soften that blow. It might not completely clear it up, right? It's not going to be enough money to do that.
You know, I think a couple did it from an education background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see, they saw, they recognize, and they see something totally different than mm-hmm. I see. You know, I'll go to what I said last night. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important is when we as a community look at who we are, we know the data is pretty clear where our two most poorest neighborhoods are. And as long as we continue to keep everyone in those neighborhoods, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. Let's give folks a fighting chance to change. And, mm-hmm. and if we look at stuff, and if you want to talk the homeless issue, if you want to talk a whole variety of other issues, what's the root cause?
Mm-hmm.
The root cause really goes back to probably poverty.
Yeah.
And how about systemic generational poverty?
Mm.
That family after family after family after family. How do we break that cycle?
Mm.
And
well, so, traditionally it's been education.
Correct.
Right.
And so here's that opportunity
mm-hmm.
to kind of change that cycle. I get it. There's a lot of change. I think with the right plan and the right services, we got to pay attention, mm-hmm. but I think we'll be fine.
Will there be a plan to move the students who would normally go to Morningside School based on, you know, where they'll have to put a new district map together of some kind to know, like, if I'm a parent in that district right now, I want to know, okay, where is my son or daughter going to land next year? Are they going to go to Capeless? Are they going to go to Allendale? How do I know? There's probably a lot of uncertainty there.
So I know the superintendent's kind of, for the first year, kind of said, okay, here's what we know. This is where students are going. I do think there needs to be a longer conversation about school zones and, mm-hmm. And who goes to where. You know, if you go back 2024-ish, when we voted for the statement of interest for Crosby,
mm-hmm.
there was maps and there was conversations about having a three-zoned school district for elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the first of which was going to be started with the Crosby-Conti consolidation.
Yeah, basically a west sector of the city.
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. there was a north sector mm-hmm. and a kind of southeast sector
yep.
to kind of create maybe campuses that were pre-K to one and two to four. So like some of these conversations started years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one more step into where we're at. And I don't think it matters. Right. Let's say it was close Allendale.
Mm-hmm.
The same emotional arguments are going to take place around Allendale.
Mm-hmm.
If it's close Capeless, it's the same emotional arguments
sure.
they're going to be had. So
absolutely
change the name of the school. The emotional argument, the community connection, that argument's the same no matter what the school is. The why are you doing an argument? I think changes. If you have a solidly built school with structured classrooms versus a open classroom style, I think there's where the narrative changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's certainly, you know, you put all of those pieces together and come up with that solution. And nobody wants to see a school close, but at the same time, as you mentioned, the enrollment numbers are really the telling thing, aren't they? Because we know, and predictably, we don't see the enrollment numbers increasing. All we see are decreases in our future. And we have the same 8 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, 2 high schools that we've had, I think, since the early 80s at this point, right? 81, 82 or so when some of those last community, little tiny neighborhood schools, I guess you'd call them, closed. Mercer, you had mentioned being one of them. And, of course, if we drive around Pittsfield now, you see
Pomeroy,
right, Redfield, right?
Yep.
A lot of those where everybody walked to school. I mean, I went to a couple of those neighborhood schools, not in Pittsfield, but I know exactly how that feels, right? And a lot of them didn't have cafeterias, gymnasiums, you know, the things that we expect an elementary school to have. Certainly not auditoriums, right? You just had basically sometimes 8 classrooms and a basement.
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting because every school we talk about the car lines and
yeah.
the traffic and, you know, PHS has been a prominent one. Morningside's one of those
mm-hmm.
schools as well. And yet we're having conversations about kids getting to school and parents not being able to get them. The data is showing like 41 kids walk one way and 27 kids walk another out of a 300-student building. So,
a lot of kids are getting picked up.
How are they getting picked up, or they're taking the bus, or whatever the case may be? You know, I think there are some valid points that as we go through this, there may need to be some special circumstances that we have to look at as we go through this process. And when I say we, it's really the superintendent and her administration that really needs to vet this out. They've been working on it now for a while.
Well, transportation, I think, certainly is a key factor in all this. It may not be the reason that the school is closed, but by closing a school and shifting the way that those students arrive at school will certainly have some impact, I would imagine, on busing. And then, as you mentioned, on people driving to pick up their students, you know, so they will have to, I would imagine, do some work in that area.
Right, right. And you know, it is what it is. We can't stay stagnant, right? And I think that's the piece for me where do we want to be? And times are tough. We don't really know what state funding is going to look like. State doesn't really know what federal funding is going to look like.
Even this year, right? I mean, we're basically entering the city's budget process, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the second half. But those numbers are not locked in either. We have sort of a peek at what the state will be providing, but they really don't even know at this point. I'm hearing that our state representative and state senator are still fighting to pull in some more dollars for Pittsfield's schools, and I'm sure every representative and senator across the state are doing the same thing for their districts. So it seems, and the city's budget process itself, other than the numbers, the sort of rough numbers that you know about, that hasn't really seen the light of day yet either.
Correct. And it's that way every year, right?
But when you're talking about closing a school and doing that now before the budget process happens, knowing, of course, also that the middle school restructuring is about to start, which pulls in one grade out of every one of those eight elementary schools, that fifth grade goes somewhere else, you now do have some space for those students to go in several of the other schools.
Right, right. And you know, if we say, oh, there are uncertain times, let's stop. We're not stopping for 1 year, right? Because the process to do things, the Crosby County School project, we started talking about something like that in 2007.
Yeah.
It's 2024 when we got accepted. It'll probably be 2030 or 2031 before it's built. So decisions that we made 2 years ago still have 4 or 5 more years before they come to fruition. The Taconic Statement of Interest was filed in 2009 when it was accepted, and we opened the doors in 2018.
Yeah.
So it's
I always talk about that. They started talking about the high school rebuilding when my kids weren't even in kindergarten, and they both graduated Taconic before Taconic was finished.
Right. And so it's You don't just talk about it and it happens 5 minutes later. There's a lengthy process for these things to happen. And so that's the case with PHS, right? 2008, 2009, there were statement of interest to fix PHS. Never came to fruition. Even if the state says in the end of December-ish, hey, City of Pittsfield, we're happy to take on this project with you. We go into the eligibility phase. There's 12 to 18 months worth of work there. Then you, if we are there and we can see that we can find a path to fund it, then it's that
But the process is a very long, slow process, and it's dictated by the state.
Yep.
So unless the city or any town or anything wants to self-fund their own school, and they have plenty of money and they can tax people to make that happen, you're going to be relying on state funding, and then, of course, you're in their process.
Right.
And the whole point of getting 7 schools done at once in the late 90s, The state completely revamped that. That doesn't happen anymore. So really, you get to pick one and then follow that through. You might have something else going on, some other ideas and things percolating, but you won't actually be able to have more than one project actively in work, except for what might happen at Pittsfield High School, right? So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show, some badly needed repairs and updates to Pittsfield High School, a school that will turn 100 years old in 2031, which isn't that far away, folks. Right. So we'll talk to Mayor Marchetti about that in the second half of the show. We are getting to that top of the hour break, so we'll do that right now here on the show and come back with more conversation with Mayor Peter Marchetti here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Need help with a new device? PCTV's Digital Navigator can match you with a free laptop, desktop, tablet, or hotspot from our available stock, thanks to the Alliance for Digital Equity. We'll also assess if your current device is worth fixing or ready to recycle. Get a free consultation at PCTV 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
People tune in to hear the latest local and national news.
That's not us.
People tune in to hear the latest music.
That's definitely not us.
People tune in to hear political pundits expound on politics.
No, that's not us.
How about people tune in to hear entertaining stories, jokes, odd topics, and laughter?
Oh, yeah, that's us. That's Stuff.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 to listen to the latest Stuff with Bev Prentice and Lynn Arsenault on 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sontrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sontrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. Also watching us on the PCTV Select app and on channel 1301. Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning on Thursday, April 16th. We have not yet lost our power to the building, which is good. We had to do a little bit of rerouting here early in the morning to get us on the air, and here we are. Broadcasting this morning and talking with Mayor Peter Marchetti, the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. And we're going to do part two of that conversation in just a moment. Let's first get to our weather forecast and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind this afternoon. Highs around 80. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms in the evening. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind in the evening. Lows in the upper 50s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. A 50% chance of showers. Not as warm with highs around 70. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Definitely a muggy morning out there today, and it looks like the fog has burned off now. I'm looking out the window. Half hour ago, it was still quite a bit of fog out there. Now it's clearing out. I think the Eversource folks are still out on our street, so we'll see if we can get through the show without losing our power completely here today. Morning drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, and it is feeling like a muggy summer morning out there for April 16th.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, you can also look out and see, you know, some of the buds on the trees. It's that nice springtime. You know, it almost seems like the leaves are coming out a little earlier than usual. Usually you have to wait until that first week of May to start seeing some of that stuff. So we'll see if we get a jump start on that this year. All right, Mayor Marchetti, thanks again for being here this morning, talking about all the things going on in the city. Certainly the schools dominating a conversation at the first part of the program. We just continue that on with the statement of interest for Pittsfield High School. So again, this is the iconic Pittsfield High School building, the dome. You drive into Pittsfield, you see the dome. It's iconic. It really represents Pittsfield in so many ways. The school building was built in 1931, if I'm correct about that, replacing the old Central High School, which that building is still standing, right? As they call it, the Central Annex, housing over right off of First Street, and you can see it from the Common, if anyone's wondering. That was the high school, and I think that building replaced a building that was originally down by where Veterans Park is now on South Street, right? That's the history of the high schools.
You're doing better than I am.
Yeah, it's fun to think about that. But anyway, we certainly had almost 100 years of Pittsfield High School with one major reconstruction in the 70s, right around the time that Morningside and Conti were constructed. So a big activity time for the schools in Pittsfield around that time, and only a few years after Taconic High School was built in the late 60s. So now we're getting to 2026, and there are certainly the building is showing its age, shall we say, right? It got a new boiler. Was it last year or the year before? So that was just the central heating plant for the whole building was running off an
with
old,
no infrastructure of piping to change.
Right.
So
just the boiler.
Just the boiler.
Yeah. And so how does that impact, like when you put a new boiler in, but you don't change out the pipes and the radiators and everything else that needs it? You know, are we looking at needing to do that? Is that one of the things that they're looking to do?
That's one of the pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, the windows that are there are the same windows than when I went to school. And this October is my 40th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Class reunion. So, you know, it's there. You know, I think the messaging here is that, and we kind of talked about it in the first part of the show, the school building needs process is lengthy. And this is basically saying, hey, MSBA, we have a project that we want to be proactive about fixing some of its shortcomings. Mm-hmm. It is 100 years old, and we want to get in the queue.
Yeah, but Pittsfield High School itself would never be taken down, you know, the way that other school buildings were. I mean, that would have to be pretty extreme, right?
I mean, I think it would be more of what would be the plan to, but I, you know, as the process for MSBA, I'm sure there will be a conversation about tear down and build new. Mm-hmm. A complete internal reconstruction, and that's the piece for the school building needs mm-hmm. process is that you look at all your options. Some of them aren't very popular, mm-hmm. but I think you need to look at them anyways.
Yeah.
So that you've done a complete exploration, you know. And at the end of the day, this is about looking at school needs, trying to get them repaired or fixed. Mm-hmm. With the state paying close to 80% of the bill.
Right.
And, you know.
And this is a separate process than the process that's currently going on with Conti Crosby in that area, right? That's a full building process, whereas this is more of a repair funds that are available.
So this could also be a similar Conti Crosby.
Okay.
But you don't necessarily need to do. It's renovation, addition, replacement. So we'll probably fall out on the renovation, but now that I just said that, the vote's been predetermined that that's what we're going to do. And I'm hesitant.
In other words, the process has to play itself out.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, if it's going to cost $300 million to fix it and $150 to build new, are you that much in love with the building that you're going to double the price to fix it?
Well, I guess that's why they do feasibility studies and they comb through it really carefully and find out what it's going to cost. Many different districts right throughout the county have seen issues like that. I know the one down at Monument Mountain Regional High School where they were talking about maybe just fixing up that building that was built in the late 60s or early 70s, same problem. And they ultimately chose to build a brand new building because they looked at it and said, well, if you're going to be spending 80% of the money just fixing the old building and you still got an old building, why not put 100% in and get a brand new building for last you another 50, 60 years? Right. Yeah. But what are some of the other issues at PHS that this potential project would fix?
So it's the heating infrastructure outside the boiler system, the windows, a lot of the internal plumbing, fire doors, roof, the dome, some remediation. I mean, it was built in 1931, so, and then again in the 70s was repair. There's some remediation work that would need to take place, abatement work that would need to take place in the building.
So as it looks right now, can the city take on the borrowing to do that kind of work? And why put in the process for doing this now rather than waiting 5 years and then putting it in then?
So I think the answer is probably not. Can we take on the borrowing right at this moment? But as we've talked about it, Taconic Statement of Interest was accepted in 2009, and the building was completed in 2018.
Right.
So we're like 5 years away from having to talk about any major borrowing for a construction project that at the moment we didn't even know what it would look like or what it would cost. If we wait 5 years to put it in the queue, you're still waiting 10 years after that or you know, a period of time.
And there's borrowing on the books already right now, right? The Taconic High School project is on the books. We're paying that down. But that has a limit. Right. The debt will retire at some point. It's not forever. So it has probably, what, 20 years or something as you're paying that down. I don't know what the exact number is. We'll have to bring Matt Kerwood on the show. I have asked him. We've got to get him on here sometime because that would be very interesting to understand some of that stuff.
And you know, Matt is really keeping an eye on all of our debt and where we are. And, you know, we'd compliment him that. When we go to city council for a borrowing authorization, say, all right, we need $10 million for this project. That's the authorization, right? It could be 5 minutes or 5 years before we actually go to borrow, depending upon the process. And, you know, Matt could talk about his short-term borrowings and his bans and all the stuff that we do to kind of get from point A to point B. But the bigger picture is that once you authorize the borrowing, it's out there.
Yeah.
Right? If you get a home equity loan on your house and you get a $200,000 loan, if you only use $50,000 of it, you're only paying interest on the $50,000. But if you decide that you want to go out and buy 10 luxury boats and they run your credit check, that other $150,000 is outstanding debt on your credit report because you have access to that money.
Yeah.
And so we've been really looking at all of our stuff to say, okay, where are we? What can we do? When a project's finished, why do you leave the authorization out there? Why don't you close out the authorization and move on. Mm-hmm. And so,
and I would imagine that has to be done from time to time, right? And I know the city council takes that up.
Well, you do. You know, Matt's been doing a really good job on it, and we've been looking. Even when I was council president, he was looking at projects back in the early 2000s that had been completed that we didn't kind of close mm-hmm. out, or maybe you borrowed X number of dollars and there's a smaller amount that hasn't really been used, but you borrowed it. How do you close out a borrowing? And so Matt's been really looking at that big picture.
And that impacts also the city's ability to borrow in the future, right? I mean, correct. That's another thing that...
And our bond rating.
Bond rating. Just like when people have a credit score and they look at that and they say, I'd really like to buy that luxury boat that you just talked about. And a credit agency says, I don't think so. You know, you got a lot hanging out there, right? So in a way, I'm sure it's not apples for apples, but...
It's very similar, right?
Process.
And it's, you know, when you look at your debt limits, if you go out and get 10 credit cards at 10 grand a piece and you owe nothing, you think you owe nothing, the credit agencies are going to say you could owe up to 100,000 because you have that ability tomorrow to go out and utilize that. Yep. And so, you know, I think that that's an important piece to look at. I also...
So it's a balancing act basically between making the investment, which we all know we need to do with our community, right? When you've got schools that are, you know, not performing well or falling down or whatever, you need to invest in them. If you don't invest in them, people can vote with their feet. They can go and send their kids to another district, right? So you do have to make those investments. Same thing with other things in the city, like, for instance, Wakona Park, which we'll talk about, right? There's another opportunity for debt. The water and sewer system, which was just authorized for phase one of improvements in the water treatment plants. Very necessary, right? But again, that's going to impact, as you mentioned, a bond rating, but then also future tax rates, how much we're going to have to charge the residents to make sure that we have all these things. It's so many things.
Yeah, and I think the other piece, you know, you say why now and why not wait 5 years? When we went through the painful process of upgrading the city's sewer treatment plant, we knew for more than 20 years that we needed to do it. In today's day and age, a price to build today is probably not going to be the same price to build in 5 years.
Right.
And it's not going to get cheaper.
Right.
Right. The cost of materials are skyrocketing. The cost of wages are going up. Where's the material coming from? Are you paying a tariff? Are you right? I mean,
a lot of uncertainty.
All these pieces. And so how do we put ourselves in the best place? And so if we get accepted into the eligibility phase in 18 months from now, we're ready to invest $1.5 million to go into the feasibility study. There's where we have to have the conversation, because once we're there and we start that process, it's much harder to turn back. Going into the eligibility phase and saying, you know, kind of vaguely, what are our options? Give us some idea. We can then look at it and say, all right, is this the right time to move forward with this? Can we afford this?
And so they can make that decision basically at that time. But if you're not in the queue,
then you can't make that decision.
You can never make the decision. Right. So right now, the votes that were taken this week do not obligate the city to spend one dime.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
It's just that it puts us in the queue. Right. And then 5 years from now, or whenever that finally comes up, and we say, OK, what do the city's finances look like then? What can we borrow? What are the other projects that we've got going on? You can make that decision at that time.
And I think it's hard because you say, can we afford to do this? If we talk about our water treatment plant, I ask the other question, can we afford not to?
Right.
Right. If we lose the ability to provide drinking water, right? We can provide you something that you can take a shower in, but drinking water.
Right.
If we lose that, what's that cost? What? And so we all talk deferred maintenance. I think that's a term I'd like to eliminate from city government lingo. But that comes with a price.
But there is a legacy of that deferred maintenance, right?
And that's how we get to where we are. So how do we invest the small dollars when we need to invest them, rather than waiting until it's the bubble gum and the rubber bands and the tape aren't working anymore. Mm-hmm. We need to do something else. So how do we create a plan? I've asked building maintenance to provide me an up-to-date report of all of the conditions of our buildings and what's wrong and what do we need to do to fix them. And, I may be stirring a little bit of trouble, but many, many years ago, we closed the basement of City Hall because of radon levels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just recently, we had to temporarily close a fire station for radon levels, and guess what? We fixed that for less than $50,000, and now that's open again.
Tell me how that was fixed, because that seemed like a very quick turnaround. I think the last time you were on the show, we were talking and it had just closed the day before.
Putting in ventilation systems for, and you can get Brian Filio here to give you this stuff, but it was ventilation systems. Mm-hmm. And so you now ask that question, could we or should we have done that to the basement of City Hall at the time that that happened? And if we had, how much money we would have saved when we're paying like $150,000 a year in a lease for city offices and a building that we don't own.
Yeah.
And that $150,000 times 10, 12, 15 years, and there's not a full plan in place yet to stop that. How many more years are we going to pay that kind of money for leasing space?
Yeah. And that certainly also calls back to the idea that we're working with some very old buildings, right, in the city of Pittsfield. We haven't built a new city hall. In fact, the city hall that we're in right now was the old post office.
Right.
So that was an existing building. And I think, when was that occupied? In the 50s or 60s, something like that? So certainly, it has a cost. It's just a different cost. Sometimes if you build something new, you get all the modern conveniences. I know a lot of towns around the Berkshires now are building their new public service buildings. I think of Lenox and Lee, for example, building a new one. And that seems to be the sort of the generation, the age that's happening right now. But they're getting, a new building that starts fresh. They don't have to worry about the things that you just described. You got radon. Okay, we're going to have to deal with that. Oh, you got a leaky roof. You've got, whatever else that happened, foundation problems, you name it.
But if they ignore their simple maintenance for the next 10, 15 years, they're going to be right where many of us are today.
Yeah. So you can't do that either. Yep. Mayor Marchetti is the guest this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. If you're just joining us, a few minutes left of our interview this morning. And so let's talk about Wacona Park, because that there was sort of a rite of passage, if you will, or a major milestone with that property just a week ago, when we said goodbye, if you will, to the grandstand before the deconstruction of that and the abatement and everything. And the grandstand will be coming down. And that was, again, something that was decided last year, and that the process is just coming through. But the city decided to have a nice event where people could come back for one more time, take a walk around the grandstand, not in the places where they don't want you to walk, because we don't know what could happen. We've seen the underneath of that, right? But just sort of to walk the bases or walk in the outfield if you wanted to. It was a very nice event. A little cold that morning, but...
it was a little cold.
So now, moving forward with Wacona Park, that will get taken down. There's funding and stuff for that. The next phase, and they showed some of the plans of what the new grandstand and new facilities will look like. That's a reduction from what the original $30 million plans were that the Wacona Park Restoration Committee sort of came up with. Why the shift, and can we get there with the level of plans that we have now?
Well, I can't predict the future. the game plan is to try to move things forward. One of the interesting things that happened to me on Saturday when I was at the event is there was a gentleman who has recently moved to Pittsfield, is an attorney, and has done work with a lot of organizations that are quasi-public, private, and have helped raise funds for public projects, making them quasi-public, private partnerships. And so... he was going to reach out and chat. Let's see where that goes. Mm. The $30 million project, I think, from things that I heard, is dead on arrival from a city council funding. So we went back to the drawing board and said, okay, let's look and see what else we can do. So the final plans are there.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the $15 million range.
So about half of the original project cost,
yep.
Bringing it down. So what did we lose by going from the $30 million plan down to the $15 million plan? And is that something that the city can afford with all the other things that we talked about in the first part of the show?
So it's I think we lost like 500 seats.
Okay.
And then there were a lot of other bells and whistles,
mm-hmm.
that materials and, you know.
Locker rooms? Are we going to have locker rooms or is that future?
Locker rooms are in the package as an add-on.
Hmm.
And it would seem to me to make sense to do them all at once. Again, it's funding.
Yeah.
So I think there's a couple ways to go about this. One, we could put the funding forward and see where the city council is. I mean, the piece about can we afford it, it's more about paying attention to what your debt service is looking like, because mm-hmm. every dollar of debt that you add, debt service is paid for out of the operating budget. So if we're averaging 10% in debt service and it goes to 15, that's 5% of the operating budget that needs to come out of things.
Mm. And that means real services, right?
Correct.
That could be cuts that we don't want to make.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to kind of balance that through and see what the numbers are. There are other avenues to take, and some of it, depending upon the avenues that we took, could put it in the hands of the voters to decide, is this something that we want? And if so, this is how we pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've got the plans and we can be ready when a time changes. You know, I think we've got to recognize that the grandstand's coming down, but that doesn't take away the field.
Right.
And so
you can still play baseball. You can still have some temporary stands while other things are going on.
So could we at least ensure that our high school teams can still play on that field, and can we do something there?
Mm-hmm.
We all know we have to do some issues with the parking lot. So there's a lot there.
Right.
And it may be a multi-year plan or a phased approach to get to where we need to go. But
when was the last time that Wacona Park saw any kind of major improvement? I mean, that would be, we talk about deferred maintenance and you do as much as you can to sort of put Band-Aids on things. But was there any kind of major reconstruction since the 1950s there?
Not really.
No. So in a way, the bill has come due.
Yep.
Right, for a valued asset, for something that the city values. And it could also, you know, potentially act as an economic engine for the city when you're bringing people in for activities that are happening here, not only benefiting people that are here, but also that external,
right.
You know, you're spurring more activity.
And we make the mistake of when we say Wacona Park, it's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We make that mistake. And I think we can, at least from the conversations I was having, obviously I'm, you know, partial to the drum corps shows mm-hmm. that were there. But how about the Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan concerts? Yeah. How about the boxing matches? How about Wing Fling was there for a couple mm-hmm. years? You know, it's a community asset that can be used for multiple purposes, including all of our high school sports teams being afforded an opportunity to play baseball, football, yeah. soccer, whatever the case may be. So
it was a great venue for high school football. Granted, it was before BCC built the turf field, so
correct.
That seems to be the preferred area now. But
sure.
Yeah. But Wacona Park still has a future. When do you think we'll be playing baseball at Wacona Park again, if you were to pull out your crystal ball?
Probably not to 2028.
Mm. And you think that we'll still have the Pittsfield Suns on board by then?
We're still in conversations with them.
They've been patient, it
again,
seems
I can't,
like.
I can't predict the future.
Hard. It's hard knowing that they...
And I think it would depend on what's the path and what's it going to look like.
Right. Yep. So all of that in good time here. We'll follow up with you on how the things are going at Wakona Park and all of the things. We didn't even get to most of the topics I had written down here this morning, but so much going on with the Morningside School and the school projects. Mayor Marchetti, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you. Always
appreciate you coming in. We'll talk to you next month, and good luck with everything you got going on. We'll probably talk more about the city budget by the time we talk next.
Probably.
All right. All right, everybody. Have a good day. Stay tuned tomorrow for Morning Drive. We have a special program where I get to speak with one of the commissioners on the Federal Communications Commission. That's tomorrow morning. All right. Talk to you later.